from all the grinning and dancing you're going to be doing. Remember, number 28 on July 26th, doors at 4 at the Last Concert Cafe, a benefit for 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for Arab Voices next.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go tonight.
Good evening, ahlan wa sahlan, Ramadan Kareem, and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio. Listeners, sponsored commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. I'm skipping Arab Voices community calendar today again, but you can always check out the community calendar section online on our website, and that's arabvoices.net. But I do want to mention one upcoming event relevant to our topic today, and that is the planned demonstration on Friday of this week against the Israeli genocide and war crimes in Gaza. This Friday, July 25th, is actually the International Day of Al-Quds. Al-Quds is Arabic for Jerusalem. And it is held annually on the last Friday of Ramadan worldwide. The demonstration will be held from 3:30 to 5:30 at the corner of Westheimer and Post Oak in the Galleria area, again this Friday, July 25th. And it is expected to have a huge gathering, with several organizations now joining in and calling for people to participate again to protest the Israeli war crimes happening as we speak in the occupied Palestinian territories, especially in the Gaza Strip. More information about this particular event is posted on our website, and that's arabvoices.net. Today's topic will be the ongoing Israeli genocide and war crimes in the Gaza Strip in occupied Palestine. where over the past 17 days, more than 712 Palestinians were murdered. Most of them are civilians, women, infants, children, and elderly. More than 4,550 Palestinians were injured. Nearly 3,000 homes, businesses, mosques, hospitals, schools were destroyed completely. Tens of thousands more were partially destroyed. Power station for electricity was bombed. Gaza's only electrical station. Gaza now is in complete darkness. Ambulances were bombed. Medical personnel were targeted and prevented from reaching the injured. All courtesy of the Israeli war criminals and terrorists that govern and run the state of Israel that do such acts. We will speak about all of that and what you can do with Josh Rubner, National Advocacy Director of the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation. But before we speak live with Josh, we will listen to the remarks of several local Houstonians who participated in a demonstration in Houston that was held last Sunday in the Galleria area, where more than 1,500 people attended to protest Israel's genocide. The demonstration was organized by Students for Justice in Palestine at the University of Houston. Let's listen in.
My name is Amir Taha. I am here on Westheimer to protest the Israeli atrocity against Palestinians in Gaza, where people are being bombarded and being killed and coming to hospital pieces. This is impossible. This is a settler state that somebody has to stop, and the world has to start understanding what we're against. This is very sad to see all of these children being killed. 50% of who are killed from the Palestinians are kids and women and old people over the age of 70. We cannot tolerate this. The mainstream media has to move on and to start showing what's going on out there. We cannot keep having the oppressor taking the place of the oppressed person. We cannot do that. You cannot have Gaza under siege for 7 years. People are living in graves. They have to move on and live like everybody else. We cannot live this life. They cannot live this life. They're just a human being like me and you.
My name is Abbas Yaqubi. Today is July 20th. We are in Houston, Texas, showing our solidarity for our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And we condemn the Israeli brutality and aggression.
My name is Atif Fatah, and I'm from Houston, Texas, United States. I'm here to support Palestine. I'm here to stop the bombing on the innocent children of Gaza. And I'm here to protest against the Israeli war crimes. I'm here to protest against the Israeli attacks on civilian facilities. How many more children are going to have to die before we as an American are going to have to understand that this is not a war. This is terrorism. A terrorism can be uniformed also. Israel is a terrorist state, and they are trying to occupy, and they are trying to kill the innocent people. They are trying to bomb the innocent people. What is the difference between a terrorist who is not in a uniform and a terrorist that is in a uniform? Why the civilians are being killed? May Allah help them.
My name is Ali Yunus. The reason why I'm here protesting is 400 plus dead. We're not talking about Hamas members. We're not talking about militants. We're talking about innocent children and women, people that didn't deserve to die, that didn't have nothing to do with the war. They're dead. That's why I'm here. It's not fair that a big military funded by multiple countries, multiple lobby groups, has the power to do this. For what? For what reason? It just doesn't make sense to me. These are humans. These are not just some targets to practice new weapons on. These are humans. That's why I'm here. I love my country. I love America. I'm here to represent humanity, not to represent Palestine, to represent Islam or Christianity or Judaism. I'm here to represent humanity against crimes against them.
My name is Sanan Abu Harb, and I was recently evacuated from Gaza less than a week ago. The only reason I was able to escape this war was because I'm a U.S. citizen. But my family, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents, my cousins, everyone I hold dear is not a U.S. citizen, and they can't evacuate. And the things that I saw there are things I don't think I can ever get over or explain to someone who hasn't seen them. Even now, when commercial airplanes fly over me, I still shudder in fear thinking that, oh my God, I'm about to get hit. And I'm here at this protest to let people know that this is where our money is going. This is where your tax dollars are being spent to put fear and terror in the hearts of children.
My name is Mohammed Qasim. I'm here to support my people in Gaza for the massacres and for all the illegal activities been going on for the past few weeks. Actually, it's been going on for years. What happened last night is big example of the monsters that we deal with. Over 100 people killed in one area, women and children. We saw a lot of pictures. We didn't see any people with weapons, all civilians, homes been demolished. It's just really, really sad that the whole world is watching and not doing anything. It's really a shame. All what we want here, for people to hear our voice. A lot of people here, they don't know what's going on. We wish that they will just go to the real media, which is not what you see on TV. You can go to so many websites, so many, if you just put Gaza, the word Gaza, and you can read about a lot of stuff about, you know, what the media is trying to hide.
My name is Dana El-Kurd. I'm here today to protest Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people. This is a continued ethnic cleansing, and it's funded by the U.S., and as an American citizen and as a human being, we need to stand up and speak out against the aggression that's happening against the Palestinian people, ethnic cleansing in both West Bank and Gaza and in historic Palestine.
My name is Hanna Khalil. I am from Al Auda, which is the Palestinian Right to Return Coalition. I'm here to protest the murder of children, of innocent women, children, and the siege of Gaza. Gaza has been under siege for about 10 years now, and they have almost, and no other siege in history has gone that long on 2 million people living on a very small piece of land. Israel seems like they don't even want peace with anyone. They are constantly targeting and murdering our people. And we regret that the entire world stays silent and not moving forward to pressure Israel. I call on all the Palestinian population, their friends and their families, and the people that they know, to boycott the apartheid, the Israeli products, and the Israeli economic establishments around the globe.
My name is Iyad. I was born in Houston, Texas. I live here. I'm here today because I'm really proud that Texans are finally feeling the passion behind the international solidarity movement for Palestinians. It's unfortunate that Texas is a hotbed for Christian Zionism today, and that's why the movement's slower here, but it's still happening. I mean, you can see, look at all the people here, the young people here. Things are changing, alhamdulillah. I feel that the other side really doesn't know how to gauge anymore. They don't know how to tell a story, a narrative anymore, because it really is indefensible now. It's gotten to the point where Israel is a really, you know, it's a very viciously racist society today. And more people are becoming aware of that in the United States. Unfortunately, Houston's a little behind. But if you look around today, I mean, clearly there's progress. Clearly, it's unavoidable. You can't keep your eyes closed. I'm here to show solidarity with my Palestinian brothers in Gaza and the West Bank. We can't forget the West Bank. We can't forget that this is occupation. It's more than just a siege. It's more than just violence. It's more than just inhumanity. It's the demoralization and the humiliation of entire people. Years of subjugation and the stripping them of the right to tell their narrative, have their own narrative, tell that story. The mainstream media in America has really done a good job of suppressing the voices over the years. They're failing today. They're failing now. And I mean, you look around, even in Houston, and you see it. You can feel it. And the great work you do at Arab Voices, KPFT, I mean, mashallah, thank you for the work that you do.
My name is Julianne Gustafson-Lira. I was in Gaza in 2009. I saw the destruction that the Israelis did against Gaza, an innocent people. And then I was in the West Bank in Hebron in 2011, and I saw how terribly mistreated they were. There was a lot of fear amongst the Palestinians. They were abused daily. And this is why I'm here. Everybody can do a little something to stop the bloodshed and stop Zionist Israel from attacking Gaza and also liberating them from the siege, stopping the siege, and giving all Palestinians human and civil rights, which is only, you know, they're only asking what every other human being in this world wants, human rights.
My name is Batul Abu Harb, and we're here protesting today because of the injustices that are happening in Gaza. Myself and my family were in Gaza. We arrived on June 30th, 5 days before the war started, and then we were there for 7 days during Operation Protective Edge. We were evacuated by the U.S. Embassy through Israel, and it was an incredibly terrifying experience. I don't think I'd ever felt that kind of fear before in my entire life.
And you were evacuated because you're a U.S. citizen.
That's right. We were U.S. citizens, and we were evacuated because of that. Otherwise, there's no way out. The Rafah border is closed, and the Erez border is closed, except for evacuation.
What have you witnessed there?
It is an incredibly, incredibly scary experience. We heard the Navy shelling from our homes. The drones you can hear 24/7. You don't know if they're going to hit you or not. You can hear the F-16 strikes. You can see the burning. You can hear the blast. You can feel the house shaking. The windows are shaking. I haven't stopped shaking since the war started.
How are the families there coping with this?
They're really not coping. My aunts are putting cotton in their kids' ears. They're covering their ears with their hands. We all slept in the same room in the middle of the house. We actually evacuated our own home and went to my aunt's home. And we slept in the middle room that didn't have any doors or any windows for protection.
So you were there and you witnessed what Israel has been doing to the Gaza Strip. Israel says that it is targeting locations where Palestinian resistance is firing rockets from. Is this what you saw?
It's actually not at all what we saw. Our house has no resistance fighters. We're complete civilians, and the shelling was so close to our house. When I was talking to the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, they heard the F-16 bomb over the phone. That's how close it was. My uncle's house got hit and completely destroyed yesterday. He's a civilian. He's actually a cancer patient, so definitely no resistance there. One of our relatives, who lives less than a quarter mile away from our house, was killed on the day that we were evacuated. We heard the blast from our home.
What's your message to the public that's listening to you now, as a Palestinian from Gaza who's just came to Houston from Gaza?
I think it's important for us as Americans to know that it's our tax dollars that's funding these things. The ultimate irony would have been if I had been killed in Gaza, it would have been my tax dollars buying the weapons that were used to kill me. So really get educated, call your representatives, put some pressure on the U.S. government. There's better things that we could be using our money for.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My name is Horst Shabiri, and I am from Islamic Education Center of Houston. Today, I would like to give my solidarity to the people in Palestine, those who are oppressed people since more than a century. And it is very sad to see that many governments, they are supporting Israel today. We can see that the people in the world, they are standing with the Palestinian people. And they are standing with the oppressed people. And it is our responsibility as a Muslim and as human being that anybody who has feeling and sympathy about human being and humanity, he needs to stand against the Israeli regime. Israeli regime is a Zionist regime. It has nothing to do with any religion. It is not a government that is based on Jews or Christians. But all Christians and Jews, they are standing against this regime today. We can see there is a complete unity that all the people, youth from every part of the world, they are participating in these protests, not only here, in all over the world, in London, in Middle East, in European countries, in America, in North America, in Canada. People, they are standing, they are voicing against this Israeli regime. And we would like to say to the people in Gaza, that people in Gaza are not alone, but we are with them, we are standing with them, and we will be standing with them, and we believe that a day Palestine is going to be free. As this youth, everybody is going to say, free, free Palestine, that means it's already free. Yes, it means that if you are attacking with the power and you like to attack with the bombs on a community and you think that you are going to be victorious, no, you will not be. Victory is with those people who are standing, and people are standing with them today. And we can see the people of the world are standing with these oppressed people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
My name is Nasa Abdul, and I'm here to raise awareness of the genocide going on in Gaza, Palestine. Innocent kids are being killed every day, and the death rates have gone up to around 500. And it's very upsetting that the U.S. is funding all of this. The U.S. must stop funding Israeli war crimes that are killing innocent civilians every day.
My name is Hala Mushtaha, an American citizen. I'm originally from Gaza. My whole family is there. We've lost some people during this last 1 week, and the situation there is really bad. We're losing people every day. The ambulances is taking injured to the hospitals. We have no more medicine. The hospitals, there is no more capacity in the hospitals. There is no more electricity. The situation is really bad over there. All this killing is made by the tax of the American people. We wish that the American people can notice what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Palestine. It has to stop. All this fund is used against Palestinian people who are innocent. Most of the people we've lost are either kids or women or old people. We need to end this. We have to end this.
My name is Asra Rahman, and I'm here at the Houston Westheimer Postal Block protesting against the wars against the Palestinian children. I just want to create some more awareness about what's going on. It's like a crime of humanity. It's a crime against every religion to kill any children, any women, and if they have nowhere to go and if they have nowhere to hide, the world should stand up against all these crimes and protect people. For the sake of humanity, you don't have to be Muslim, you don't have to believe in any religion, you have to believe in humanity and peace. Please stand up and please go to your government and your media and ask for justice for the people of Palestine.
My name is Rezek Sokler. I'm a physician here in Houston for the last 32 years. I am here today demonstrating in protest for the crime that the Israeli occupation committing against the civilians in the Gaza Strip. This is not the first time. They've been doing it on and on. And despite the excuse that they've been saying there is, you know, some killing on the other side, we haven't seen much, you know, of what they are claiming, but, you know, they are responding in a much savage way. Their crime last night at the Shaja'iyya neighborhood, it is beyond any imagination, where they killed more than 60 civilians in a very savage way. And, you know, this is something it has to stop, you know, with the support and with the solidarity of people around the world. United Nations, governments, especially in the Arab world, and with us, you know, the people. If this is, will continue, then Israel will continue to do the killing, will continue to break the international law, will continue to its occupation and its siege to Gaza Strip, which has been, for the last 8 years, it turned Gaza into a big jail where people, they cannot really get the essentials of living, and they have, you know, nothing to do but to try to defend their right to live normal living. And that's why we're seeing, you know, what is happening in Gaza. You know, despite all the, you know, the killing on both sides, we should not ignore the fact that all what is happening right now is because of the occupation, is because of the siege of Gaza, is because of the Israelis basically prohibiting those 1.8 million people in Gaza Strip to live normal life, which is their essential right in this life.
My name is Sharif Abu Shaban. I'm an American from Gaza, original from Gaza. I'm here to protest what's happening in Palestine in general and in Gaza in specific. These days, the people of Gaza, they live in fear. They live under continuous bombing. They're under continuous airplane and all military action against civilians. Civilians, as we know, Gaza is a small area city. I was lived and raised in this land, and then I came to the United States and I'm an American citizen now. So we ask all Americans, we ask all people who look for justice in the world to do their part, to do what they can to stop this aggression, to stop the war in general. It's a one general statement, one general, end the occupation, end the occupation, end the occupation. Our authority tried all possible in the other side, in the West Bank. Gaza, even, as we all know, they've been signed an agreement altogether. There was many opportunities for peace, and the other side, in specific, the Israeli side, who denying the peace continuously. So we need the peace. We need to implement the peace right now, and more important, to stop the war in Gaza.
My name is Sonia, and I'm here at this protest representing the Catholic population who supports Palestine to end the genocide occurring by the hands of Israel.
My name is Sarah Cassis, and I'm here at the corner of Westheimer and Post Oak, and I am protesting for Palestine and for Gaza today. We have a lot of people out here, and we are trying to spread awareness to the general public in America about what's happening in Gaza. It's very important for people to understand that what they're seeing on mainstream media is not necessarily the truth. There's a huge media bias. For whatever reason, what you're seeing on mainstream media is skewed. So we're here to let people know that the Palestinians are an occupied people. They're being oppressed by Israel. This has happened so many times throughout history. Think about it. The Native Americans, the civil rights movement, apartheid in South Africa. We've seen this happen so many times, and yet the world is turning a blind eye. The Palestinians are calling out for help. They're an occupied people. They've been occupied for more than 60 years, and they're being oppressed. Right now, Gaza is actually an open-air prison with all borders closed. There's no place for the people of Gaza to go, yet they're being bombed like fish in a barrel. Israel is trying to make it look like they are just defending themselves, but this is not true at all. Innocent people are dying every day. There are more than 200 civilian casualties. 80% of the people who have died in Palestine are civilians, and a good number of those are children. People don't realize there's an imbalance. I think there's been maybe one death in Israel versus more than 200 Palestinians, and thousands of Palestinians have had their homes destroyed, have been injured, maybe fatally, and there's nowhere for them to go. There's nothing to do. They try peaceful methods. They try nonviolent resistance, and the Palestinians have been doing this for years. However, without an audience, it's ineffective. So try your best to get alternate sources of media. Listen to what the Palestinians have to say when they protest and when they practice other methods of nonviolent resistance. These are people simply defending themselves, fighting for their lives, defending their families, their homes, and their ancestral lands. And Israel is an occupying force. Look that up on the internet if you need to, but we know that the Palestinians need the world's help now. Do what you can. We're here to spread awareness, and we need the world to stand up, to speak out, to spread the word on social media, since the media is not going to do it for us.
أطفال غزة أطفال غزة متروكون لكلاب البحر أطفال غزة تلتهمهم خنازير البحر أطفال غزة تبتلعهم حيتان البحر أطفال غزة متروكون لكلاب البحر أطفال غزة تلتهمهم خنازير البحر أطفال غزة تبتلعهم حيتان البحر أمام أعيننا هذا العالم سرك من البهلوانيين زعماء يقفزون يتلاعبون بالقضايا كأنها أكروبات أيها المهرجون أيها المهرجون من يروض هذه الوحوش في البحر والبر يا أصحاب الدين ويا أصحاب الدنيا أيها العالم النائم ماذا تفعل لجثث أطفال غزة الملفوفين بالبطانيات من الرمل أيها المهرجون من يروض هذه الوحوش في البحر والبر يا أصحاب الدين ويا أصحاب الدنيا أيها العالم النائم ماذا تفعل لجثث أطفال غزة الملفوفين بالبطانيات من الرمل هكذا يولد الفلسطيني على الرمل ولا يعرف أنه سيصبح سمكا في صنارات البارجات وشباك الطائرات هذا شعب أم مسمكة هذا بحر أم مقبرة هذا شط أم تابوت هذا شعب أم مسمكة هذا بحر أم مقبرة هذا شط أم تابوت يا الله يا الله يا الله ثمة ملائكة كالأطفال مقصوصة أجنحتهم يحلمون بالطيران، يحلمون بدولة كهدية. يا الله، لو ترسل سيارة إسعاف وتنقذ شعبا من أطفال، أطفال مرميين على رصيف العالم. يا الله، ها هي فلسطين كمتروكة بين فكين، بيننا بين أولاد العم الأعداء وبين الأخوة الأعداء. هي فلسطين تكاد أن تصبح قصرا من رمال غزة، قصرا من رمل، وثمة موجة عالية أو موجتان في الطريق إلى النسيان. إليكم يا أطفال غزة، يا أبطال غزة، قلبي اليوم يغزلكم بمغزل الحزن أوجاعا ويبكيكم، يبكي الدماء التي سالت بلا سبب غير الصمود، فزاد الكيد عاديكم. شل السلام بأرض الحب فانطلقت قذائف البغي بالأحقاد ترديكم، أرى الصمود بطولات بخدجكم رغم الحصار، فإن العون يأتيكم من خالق النفس لا من أمة خلعت لثلة الكفر فانهالت تصفيكم. كيف السبيل، كيف السبيل إلى عود الحياة لها على الدماء بها تجري فتحييكم. يا أهل غزة، يا أهل غزة، يا أهل غزة، قلبي صامد معكم. يا أهل غزة، قلبي صامد معكم. يا أهل غزة، قلوبنا صامدة معكم. بالدمع أبكي، بالدمع أبكي، وبالآيات أرقيكم. يا أهل غزة، يا أهل غزة.
وين أخوات العرب، وين الرجولة، وين وقفات الشرف، وين البطولة؟ وين أخوات العرب، وين الرجولة، وين وقفات الشرف، وين البطولة؟
You're listening to Arab Voices on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Joining us now live via phone is Josh Rubner. Josh is the policy director of the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. He is a former analyst in Middle East affairs at Congressional Research Service, a federal government agency providing members of Congress with policy analysis, and previously served as executive director of Jews for Peace in Palestine and Israel. Josh's analysis and commentary on U.S. policy toward the Middle East appear frequently in various media outlets. He is also author of the book Shattered Hopes, Obama's Failure to Broker Israeli-Palestinian Peace. Josh, welcome back to Arab Voices.
Thank you very much for having me, Saeed.
Thanks. It's good to have you again on the show. Josh, it is now 3:32 a.m. Thursday morning in Gaza, in occupied Palestine, the 18th day of Israel's latest war crime and genocide against the Palestinians. And as we speak right now, on my monitor, I have two live camera feeds from Gaza. And every few minutes, I see flares of bombs being dropped on Gaza. It's easy to see them because Gaza now is in total darkness. Over the past 18 days, and as you well know, at least so far, 717 Palestinians were murdered, mainly civilians. Most of them are women, infants, children, and elderly. More than 4,500 Palestinians were injured. Nearly 3,000 homes, businesses, mosques, hospitals, schools were completely destroyed. Tens of thousands more partially damaged. The main electrical station at Gaza was bombed by Israel this morning. Ambulances are targeted. Medical personnel are targeted. Journalists are targeted. It's an all-out war by the state of Israel against the Gaza Strip, the latest in a round of war crimes that Israel has been committing against the Palestinians for so many years. What is your reaction to what we have been witnessing over the past 18 days?
Shock, sadness, profoundly disturbed by the brutality and iron-fisted nature of Israel's policies in actions toward the Palestinians. And what makes me even more upset is the fact that my government, the United States, our government, is providing Israel with the critical military and diplomatic support that it needs to commit these massacres against the Palestinian people. And without this support, I think it would be impossible for Israel to get away with the crimes that it's committing.
And not only providing them with the weapons, but they have said it clearly, despite these atrocities, despite these unbelievable acts that Israel is doing on the ground in Gaza right now, they are fully supporting the Israeli actions. They are fully supporting Israel's going into Gaza. They are fully supporting whatever it's doing into against the Palestinians right now. It is truly astonishing. Another thing that happened, the United Nations Rights Council, they are launching a probe into Israel's Gaza offensive. And guess who voted against that? The United States was the only member out of the 46 member council, this is today, to vote against the United Nations by launching a probe into Israel's attack on Gaza. And the U.S., we are supposed to look at it now as trying to mediate a ceasefire?
Well, 1 or 2 days ago, Secretary of State John Kerry described Israel's attacks and massacres against Palestinians in Gaza as, quote, legitimate and appropriate. This is the extent to which the United States is complicit and responsible for allowing Israel to conduct these massacres against the Palestinian people. And the vote today in the UN Human Rights Council was not unexpected. It followed a pattern that the United States has pursued throughout the Obama administration, in which I document in my book, Shattered Hopes, of stymieing the international community from holding Israel accountable for its actions. The United States bent over backwards to protect Israel from any accountability for the massacres and war crimes that it committed in Gaza in 2008 and 2009 during Operation Lead. And the same excuses that we heard from the United States about why they would not support holding Israel accountable for its actions back then are the exact same words we heard today from the United States in Geneva. We were told by the United States representative to the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva that the reason why the United States cannot vote to support an inquiry of the massacres that are occurring in Gaza is because that it is, quote, not balanced, even though the UN Human Rights Council voted to include in its inquiry the investigation of the activities of Hamas. But despite the fact that all actors are going to be investigated by the UN Human Rights Council, still the United States has the audacity to tell the UN Human Rights Council that it's not being balanced in this situation where we've had hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian civilian deaths as opposed to 2 Israeli civilian fatalities.
And over the years, Israel has always used the veto power against any United Nations resolution, against any United Nations initiative that would even just question, not send troops, not send peace forces, not attack Israel for its war crimes and massacres and killings of so many innocent people and civilians throughout the Middle East. It would vote against anything that would question anything that Israel has been doing. And this is extremely critical for us here in the United States with what is happening. It's unimaginable what's happening in the Gaza. I have been speaking with a lot of people inside Gaza, and they are telling me they are telling me everything you see on TV. I have all these satellite channels. I watch live feeds from there. It's not even close to reality on the ground. They are telling me there are hundreds of people missing. They have no idea where they are. Are they under the rubbles? Are they killed? Are they injured? Israel doesn't even allow ambulances and rescue personnel to go. They have been flattening buildings and homes left and right in many areas in the Gaza Strip. It is expected to be a catastrophe, a total catastrophe. And the United States is siding with such war crimes. What can people do here right now to end this disaster?
Well, people need to do what we have been doing for a long time, and that's a variety of things to challenge our country's diplomatic and military support for Israel's oppression of the Palestinian people. So that can mean everything from going out into the streets, protesting, meeting with your members of Congress, writing, calling them, writing to your local media, letters to the editor, taking direct action to oppose these policies, engaging in campaigns of boycott, divestment, and sanctions, as Palestinian civil society has called upon people of conscience around the world to do. These are all things that have been done very frequently and in growing numbers by people not only in the United States but around the world as well. And it's clear that this mobilization on behalf of and in support of Palestinian human rights is gaining momentum, it's gaining strength. It's obviously not strong enough to challenge and stop Israel's aggression and massacres against the Palestinian people, but that does not give us the right to stop. It means we have to redouble our efforts be doing all of these things and to try to make whatever difference we can.
Absolutely. And we want to talk more about tangible things here in the United States that could, that might affect the senators, the congresspeople, to let them know the reality and what's happening and to change their mind in funding and approving these billions of dollars that we sent to Israel and the arms. And we want to talk in a few minutes, not now, about a call for arms embargo on Israel. There were 64 public figures, prominent public figures, and seven Nobel laureates. They are calling for arms embargo in Israel. That includes Tutu, Chomsky, Waters, Pepe, and many others. And we will talk about them because they are accusing Israel, this is all new, of war crimes and possible crimes against humanity. But with what's happening right now at this moment, now I know there is a talk about ceasefire and Kerry is in the region. He's between Egypt and Palestine and Israel and so on. And Hamas's leader made a statement today, Mishal. There is a possibility behind the scene that a ceasefire might happen, but a ceasefire not permanent, not a permanent solution, a temporary one, maybe something on a humanitarian basis while they try to rescue some of the people who are still trapped in buildings and people can get some supplies and so on. But the laying foundation of all of this is the brutal Israeli military occupation that has been there since 1967. And yes, it has been there even way before, if you go back to 1948, to historic Palestine. But what the Palestinians have been crying for, have been asking for, is for their freedom from the brutal military occupation that occupied the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem in 1967. A very basic thing that the Palestinians have been asking for. And Israel continues to build settlement, continues to take land, continues to grab land from the Palestinians, and makes their livelihood a living hell on earth every single minute of their lives. Your organization, the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation, the title of it speaks loud. And I know you work with many other organizations to end the U.S. The Israeli occupation of the Palestinian territories. What can you do now, and what is the reaction you're getting from the different organizations that you all work with on this latest crisis?
So the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation is a national coalition, and we have now more than 400 organizations in our coalition, I think in about 45 different states across the country. It's organizations like Peace Action, it's organizations like American Muslims for Palestine, Jewish Voice for Peace, etc., working together to challenge our country's policies. One thing that many, many groups are doing is calling for a national day of action in solidarity with Gaza for tomorrow, actually. And you can go onto our website, endtheoccupation.org, to get details about this national day of action, to find different ways that you can plug in locally. I know you had a major, major protest with thousands of people on the street in Houston a few days ago, and there are going to be more protests, more letter writing campaigns, more call-in days to Congress ahead if you can't participate tomorrow. Until the carnage stops, until the United States withdraws its diplomatic and military protection for Israel and its complicity in its crimes against the Palestinian people.
Yes, and again, repeat the website one more time for your organization, for people who want more information about tomorrow's call for action.
Sure, it's www.endtheoccupation.org.
In theoccupation.org, we will have a link to that on our website, arabvoices.net, also. And there has been another demonstration. I mentioned it earlier, but I'll mention it again. It's scheduled in Houston for this coming Friday at 3:30 p.m. in front of the Galleria, where it's expected to be even much larger than all of the previous demonstrations that have been held in Houston over the past couple of days. I want to mention the phone number to our listeners. I haven't mentioned it today, but I already have callers on hold. It's 713-526-5738. If you have any questions, we're talking about the Israeli genocide and attack on the Palestinians. Joining us now live, talking about that, is Josh Rubner. He is the policy director for the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. Let me go ahead and take one caller right now before I ask more questions because of the time. Alan is on the air. Alan?
Yes, good evening. I find it interesting that, or we can look and check the record, but any territories, lands, countries that were occupied by Israel, none of them, Israel has not evacuated any of the occupied territories except in response to force. I mean, one thing Israel says about the Arabs, the Palestinians, is that they only respond to force. This is another tactic of Israel of accusing the Palestinians of actually their own characteristic. The Sinai was only the occupation of Sinai ended only after the War of 73, the pressure that was put on in the aftermath of that war. South Lebanon, the occupation only ended after 18 years of armed struggle.
And Alan, one more thing. Israel continues to occupy Shebaa Farm, Lebanese territory, up to this minute.
Yeah, I mean, even the withdrawal, I mean, they turned Gaza into a prison, but even the withdrawal of the settlers and the occupation army directly from within Gaza, that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a forceful uprising of the Palestinian people. I mean, South Lebanon, if it wasn't for an armed resistance, it would probably be full of, I mean, they were diverting the water of the Litani. They were talking about building kibbutz, farming kibbutz, and the settlements would have followed. It would probably look very much like the West Bank with settlements at this point, after, you know, 25, 30 years of occupation. But after 18 years of arms, that's the only. So my point is that Israel only responds to force. And the reason Israel only responds to force is because they're immunized from law, international law. They're immunized from diplomatic pressure. They're immunized from the truth. And the way they're immunized from law and international pressure is through the U.S., vetoing U.N. resolutions, vetoing rulings of the international court. And the way they're immunized from the truth is by the media telling lies. I mean, I was stunned. I was stunned to turn on the television and hear so-called respected journalists like Fareed Zakaria on CNN say what began with the kidnapping of three Israeli teenagers. Now, that was a horrible crime, whoever did it, and it should have never happened. But this thing did not begin with them. 2 weeks prior to that, just 2 weeks prior to that, two Palestinian students, young students, about 11 or 12 years old, with their school packs still on their backs were gunned down by Israeli snipers in the streets, shot down like dogs. And that's that was filmed. That's
CNN.
One of the few incidences which was caught on film,
yes.
Or at least released. And you can see it on the Internet now. Mm. And prior to that, about 100 Palestinians killed just during this year.
And by the way, those three Israeli teens that were murdered, that were killed, nobody knows who did it. And Hamas said, we did not do that. And nobody knows if it was political.
I mean, who knows? I mean, it's obvious that it didn't have to culminate in this sort of violence. I mean, the investigation could have gone and arrest and, you know, find the people, the murderers, and arrest them and put them on trial and so forth. You didn't have to arrest thousands of Palestinians, kill dozens, and start bombing like
it
this.
Was
that's when the rockets really started flying from Gaza.
Yeah.
Because
let me ask, that
brings me back to the original point, is because the people in Palestine have come to realize there's peaceful demonstrations, nonviolent resistance going on every day in the West Bank. Do we hear about it? Do we see it on television? Have we seen what I found astounding is there's documentaries on everything from the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, which haven't even barely ended yet, and there's all sorts of documentaries. Have we seen a single documentary about the occupation of Palestine on American television? When Blockbuster attempted to do a documentary about Gaza, the children of Gaza, the producer who was there in Gaza was gunned down by an Israeli sniper, a single bullet to the neck between his vest, his bulletproof vest, and his helmet. They shot him. They killed him. Why? So American people wouldn't see his documentary.
Yeah.
This is shameful.
Alan,
we as American people that are funding it have this on our responsibility. This is on our shoulders, and that's why I don't advocate violence, because violence, even though I'm saying that's what Israel responds to, I'm not advocating that because that won't work. It'll just make things worse. But it's on our responsibility to do the things that you're talking about. And I thank you, both of you, for getting on the air and talking about these things.
Thank you, Alan. We appreciate the call.
Thank you. Saeed, can I address that issue?
Absolutely.
Media coverage?
Yes.
Yes, it's true that much of the mainstream U.S. media coverage of Palestine remains extremely problematic. But I do think that we are seeing great strides in terms of the coverage of the Palestinian people, of the ability of Palestinian Americans and Palestinians to access mainstream media and to speak in their own voices and even to push back against hostile attempts to silence Palestinian voices in the mainstream media. And we saw this most clearly when NBC pulled out of Gaza last week its star correspondent Ayman Mohyeddin,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, used to work for Al Jazeera. And he had been providing amazing coverage on mainstream American television, NBC,
yes.
to viewers. And there was, of course, huge pressure leveraged on NBC to kick Ayman Mohyeddin out of Gaza. But we pushed back and we fought NBC and we won. And he's on his way back to Gaza if he's not already there. So that shows that things are changing on the media landscape. And although things are very, very difficult, obviously, now, and when you look at this on a daily basis,
yeah.
of course, things look incredibly devastating and terrible. But when you step back and look in a more broader time frame, at the changes that have taken place, not only in media coverage, but also in terms of institutional policies. We now have the Presbyterian Church USA divested from corporations that are profiteering from Israel's military occupation and oppression of the Palestinian people. That took 10 years for the Presbyterian Church to do. So, unfortunately, social change is often slow incoming. But often when it gathers enough momentum and it gets to a tipping point, things can change very quickly. And I don't know if Israel's latest massacre is going to be the tipping point or not. I hope it is. But I think we're getting to that tipping point where Israel is simply no longer able to control the narrative and is losing the public discourse. And once that public discourse is lost to Israel, then it's really, I think, only a matter of time until our institutions and our government catch up with public opinion.
All right, let's take a quick call from next caller is Sarah. Sarah, you're on there.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say that the protest that we had a few days ago was really big. I'm 29 years old. I used to go to the University of Houston, and I'm really proud of the Students for Free Palestine putting on these protests. But I have to give them some advice as a little bit older activist. Please collect names and information of people at the next protest on Friday who want to do BDS work in Houston. There was none of that happening the other day, and there are hundreds and hundreds of new people. I mean, I've seen you, the host of the show, at these types of protests for years, and I think you can agree there was many more families there, not just the typical leftists.
Absolutely.
Here. So please, please collect signatures, and let's put this to work to show Palestine we really care by doing BDS action. Houston has the largest Arab American population in Texas. We should be BDS ground zero. So please, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Josh, on August 2nd also, I don't know if you've heard about that or not, there is a call for a national march on the White House to stop the massacre in Gaza with numerous organizations already signing onto that.
That's correct. There is a call for a national protest on August 2nd, which is being coordinated by the Answer Coalition and other organizations, as you mentioned.
Yeah, very well. Now, unfortunately, gosh, I have so many other callers on hold. I won't be able to get to their questions or comments because of the time. In the last minute and a half, Josh, what other points or other messages you'd like to make to our listeners?
Just that I think every American needs to understand just how deeply complicit and responsible we are for the terrible images and scenes of devastation and destruction that we're seeing coming out of Gaza and the overall oppression of the Palestinian people. Simply put, the only thing standing in the way of Israel today becoming like apartheid South Africa tomorrow is the fact that our country supports that apartheid. And that makes it incumbent upon every American who supports peace, who supports justice, who supports fairness and equality, regardless of their religion, regardless of their ethnicity, to oppose these policies and to change our government's policies to one that supports human rights, international law, and equality.
Very well. And give the website one more time for your organization, because I do know it has really a lot of useful information.
Sure. It's www.endtheoccupation.org.
Endtheoccupation.org. And that was the voice of Josh Rubner, our guest this evening, the policy director of the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. Thank you, Josh, so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Saeed, for having me.
Thanks, and apologies again to the many callers still on hold. Obviously, we can't take your comments or questions because we're out of time. Many thanks to Sherry for her assistance tonight. Technology Bites is coming up next. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth.
Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn. But our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up, and each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft Houston.